Lesson 2, Segment 2, Envision Training. The basic steps for Envision Question 1, Where Am I? In this segment, you'll learn the 15 essential practical steps to work with the first question, Where Am I? Why we do it, how it works, the purpose of the steps, then I'll recap. Important. We can never repeat this often enough. So savor each step, really feel it in your bones. Understand its place in the sequence and why it's important. Eventually it'll come so naturally you won't ever have to ask yourself, why do I do this next? It's very important you don't skip any step here in this version. So let's go through them now. Step 1, determine state of mind. This step is to get your client, or yourself if you're doing this alone, to begin to detach from the details of their story, such as, I'm stuck and I can't see my future, and into a space where they are required to slow down and become mindful of their current emotional and psychological state. This is how we stop the seduction of the retelling of the old story. We avoid it so that the client doesn't re-anchor the subconscious pattern and the addiction to the hormone response. The body wants to feel what's familiar, even if it's stressful. It's known. Step 2, we distill. This is where we describe feelings, both emotional and physical. This is to narrow down the state of mind to articulate the basic emotions that motivate the thought patterns that keep your client in the old pattern or negative reactive state, where the old story will get triggered as the person searches for a familiar narrative. You might ask your client, what does being stuck feel like? What emotions are present when you're feeling stuck? Do you feel anxiety, stress, fear, overwhelm, and then ask for other descriptors. Once you've identified the emotional feelings, ask them to describe their physical symptoms. You can help them by asking, where in your body do you feel these emotions? Do you feel constricted or open? Once you have this data, you move to the next step. Step 3, describe feelings as a place represented by an image delivered by the unconscious. First, remind the client that the primary environment we live in is in the mind. Our thoughts, feelings, and beliefs are more powerful than our 5 sensory experiences. We experience 95% of our reality through the subconscious, while trying to direct the show with the 5% conscious thinking mind. The unconscious is the deepest layer of the mind. It encompasses all our experiences and is able to access all of humanity's collective experience. It speaks to us through pictures, images, symbols, and metaphor with rich meaning. It does not speak English or Chinese or German. It speaks pictures, images, symbols, and metaphors. This is the dreaming mind. At this level, all human beings have access to symbols of nature. And as I said earlier, this is what is known as eco-consciousness. Because we are nature, we will see nature and know its symbols and meaning, even if we don't intellectually grasp this right away. We then ask the client a question, for example, if stuck were a place you inhabited and were looking at as an environment, what would this place look like? What do you see there? What kind of place is it? This place that represents your emotions. For example, if stuck was a place that represented the feelings of anxiety, constriction in your throat, or fear of the unknown, feeling overwhelmed, etc., what would a place representing those feelings look like? And you can help your client by asking questions like, is it a desert? Is it a swamp? Is it quicksand? So their unconscious hears the language it's required to use. Step 4, connecting to the observer self. Well, this step is to get your client to really notice the sense of detachment, a sense of looking at something rather than being that series of feelings. You take away the self-identifying aspect of it. You recognize that you're not the landscape or place, you're the one looking at it. Let your client know at this stage that even if they don't see visually, not everyone is visual, they'll know the place as if they know a story. What do they know intuitively about this place? Remind them again to see or know themselves as separate from the place to maintain a neutral stance. Notice the neutrality of the looking at the place versus the identification of feeling. For example, I observe my feelings as a place I'm in, rather than I am my feelings when I feel them. So it would be I see the place of stuck rather than I am stuck. Now we go to step 5. Notice the details of the place. Keeping the client in the observing position, ask if there are any significant attributes to this place. Is it dry, wet, green, gray, etc.? What's the weather like? What else do you see? As the coach, always write down the data as your client says it. You will use it to analyze if something jumps out later. Step 6. Confirm desire for distance. You then ask, if you could leave this place that represents being stuck, anxious, frustrated, etc., would you? This is to get the client into a sense that they have a choice, that this is not a place of permanence. Most times when your client is in a challenging place, especially if it's memory-based, they will expect, even though they don't know they expect, but they will expect to always be this way and feel that they are powerless to change it. The sense of forever is there because they identify the feeling by the hormone response in their body that's triggered by their emotions. It feels real and forever rather than transient because of this. They identify with the state of mind as it being them. This is true at the level of the ego personality in the body, but it is not true at the level of the self with a capital S, or pure awareness as it's expressed in the form of the observer in a state of mindfulness. That's where the magic of envision takes place, in the shift from personality to self, from identification and attachment to non-attachment and detached observation. I'm going to repeat that again. The magic of envision takes place here, when we shift from personality to self, from identification, personification, and attachment to a state of mind, to non-attachment, separated, and detached observation. Step 7. Summon winged creature. This is a fascinating part of the process, as anything that flies is an archetype or symbol embedded in all of human memory as a means to do the impossible, to connect to a higher magical force. Ancient peoples believed birds were the messengers of the gods, and the unconscious knows this and will deliver as requested an image that has deep symbolic meaning, of which your client may not be consciously aware at all. And you'll discuss this later. Let the client know this winged creature must come as requested. There'll be more about the power of bird symbolism after I go through the steps in another segment. Let's go to step 8 now. We observe the creature. Ask your client to describe what appeared. What kind of bird or creature is it? What color is it? What species? What color are its eyes? Does it feel familiar? Write down the details, paying attention to the species, as these will have totemic meaning for the client's experience and subsequent epiphany. Step 9. Fly on the back of the creature until only blue sky is in sight. This step initiates a state called spatial distance. You move away from the challenging environment into a neutral one, with more freedom that changes you almost instantly. Step 10, sense. How do you feel? Notice the difference physically and emotionally. This is where you can't deny the difference. Your client will always have a sense of relief here. Ask them to describe in as much detail as they can, starting with their bodies, how they feel in the comparative context. Can they tell the difference? The answer will always be yes, even if it's subtle. Then step 11, measure spatial distance. Ask your client to look over the side to look at the place of origin. Notice how big or small it is in comparison to the rest of the place that they can see. What effect does it have now? Spatial distance cannot be ignored by the subconscious. The reticular activating system of the brain will sort out the first place in favor of this one, as it too will be familiar. We all know inherently the difference of the way we see something up close or at a distance. The mind does not know the place is not real. It is real when it's connected to an emotional response. You have now moved away from the influence of the first place and are in a receptive state to be inspired and motivated. Your client can now move on from the initial story without ever having told it. Step 12. Radical acceptance. Your client does not need to change anything about the original landscape. Here is where you ask them to notice this. We did not change anything. We accept fully the integrity of all experience. We did not judge the first place as bad or wrong. This process of shifting perspective from past programmed reactivity to creative choice does not require anything other than movement. We accept the integrity of the first because we have no real choice. When trying to change by using effort from the ego or will, the subconscious will always win. Within vision, we just go somewhere else that is also recognizable by the subconscious sorting mind. The unconscious delivers the images. Then we enact a sort of play that mimics the experience of our memories of being inside something, looking at a place, seeing a winged creature, looking from a distance, flying or moving on the back of something, etc. And we establish the spatial distance inside ourselves. We recognize this too as truth. And once we feel relief, we then realize we did not fight, judge, criticize, poke, or push against anything. We have relinquished resistance. We have transcended it. We accept with neutral objectivity that all things exist, period. This is radical acceptance. Now we're going to go to step 13, a new place. Now we choose another destination, one that represents a desired state of mind. We've moved sufficiently to be in a state of relief physically, mentally, and emotionally. We now know we have the power to choose. What will your client choose? What kind of experience do they want to create in the future? And this is where you invite them to visit a sanctuary. Step 14, the sanctuary. This is a step where you guide your client to adopt the energy of a desired outcome in advance. This new state of mind is also represented by a place to inhabit temporarily, based on the attributes, feelings, and sensations you want to create. This place is meant to invoke peace, safety, security, boundaries, and an ability to be clear-minded. Your client will give you the details when you ask them to see the sanctuary. And step 15, the summary and interpretation. The envision process becomes very personal as your client will have told you pertinent details of their inner journey that are represented symbolically by the places in their details. You'll now engage in a conversation about what happened. You'll go over the symbolism of the winged creature. You can discuss what other animals may have appeared. These will always signify something meaningful to further aid the client's awakening to make a change. The weather, the colors, everything is ripe with deeper meaning should you choose to discover it. At the very least, you'll have moved your client from one challenging, resistant state of mind to a supportive, receptive one. You can discuss the desired outcome once again with a very alert and powerfully affected client. It truly is a way to bring back all the accountability and responsibility for transformation onto the client where it belongs, instead of on you, the coach. However, something deep and meaningful has also occurred. You've both discovered the magic of the inner oracular consciousness and intuitive power that speaks to you in silence, but now is engaged in an open conversation of growth and awareness. Now that you've talked about that moment when the epiphany takes place, you have a memory of the moment of awe and amazement of what just happened. It's the beginning of change, and you always remember those epiphany moments because of their profound impact on you. This awareness creates a doorway from the automatic mind to the greater aspect of the mind, the aware self with a capital S. Your neurophysiology adjusts accordingly to accommodate the new story. You've actually short-circuited the fight-flight pattern and begun a new hormone response of feel-good. Imagination and intuition bring impact. The impact brings insight. The insight brings influence. You will be a new person, behaving differently, seeing differently, from a new vantage point and a new perspective, which creates the capacity to know unlimited potential. Everything changes. The person who sees from a higher vantage point will make very different choices, take very different actions, and choose different thoughts from the person who is stuck in the automated pattern of a distorted history-framed reality. I'm going to repeat that. The person who sees from a higher vantage point will make very different choices, take very different actions, and choose different thoughts from the person who is stuck in the automated pattern of a distorted history-framed reality. You really can transform within vision. You unleash the genius of your creativity through your imagination, which delivers the treasures of the unconscious. The subconscious stores and remembers the strongest emotional charges. Building on those repetitively with some effort over time makes these places the reality that then seeks itself coherently reflected in the outer world. As Dr. Joe Dispenza eloquently discussed in our conversation in week one, this is in essence the placebo response that underlines the power of the environment of the mind on the manifestation of the outer experience, choices, and opportunities. We tend to see the world of effects as the only reality and react to those. But within vision, we go inward to navigate a different internal experience, regardless of our automatic reaction response to the conditions of the outer world, which are temporary. When you learn to navigate the inner world, then the outer reflects the truth within. You see what you believe and expect. In vision, changes your world from the inside out. Now I will recap the basic steps for envision. Question one, where am I? Let's go through them one more time. Step one, determine state of mind. Step two, describe the feelings. Step three, describe feelings as a place you inhabit that is represented by an image delivered by the unconscious. Step four, connect to the observer self, notice detachment and sense of space. You are not the landscape or place, you are the one looking at it. Step five, notice details of the place, significant attributes, dry, wet, green, gray, etc. Step 6, confirm desire for distance. Step 7, summon winged creature. Step 8, details of creature, color, species. Step 9, fly on the back of creature till only blue sky is in sight. Step 10, how do you feel? Notice the difference physically, emotionally. Step 11, look over the side. Look at the place of origin. Notice how big, small. What effect does it have now? Step 12, acceptance of the integrity of all things. The landscape does not need to change. You just need it to move and allow for distance. Step 13, look at what else is possible. Step 14, choose another destination that represents a desired state of mind. Safety, security, equal sanctuary. Step 15, discussion and interpretation. The aha.